Why would you want to turn away from that which is godly? Because the opposite of that is ungodly. And the thing about apostasy and the falling away that I will never be able to understand, why would you want to leave the truth? Why would you want to leave the light? And I just believe if it's in your heart deep enough and it's convicted deep enough, you can't leave that which has been your rock and the anchor of your soul. And the book of Jude introduces revelation, because I do believe before the Lord comes, we're going to see even greater falling away. This morning I said in the book, you'll find the deception of false religion or apostasy. You'll find that in verse number 4. He said it crept in, watch this now, unaware. You know how the devil got a hold of Eve? He crept in unaware. You know how Satan got a hold of Samson and all those Old Testament figures that fell by the way? David, he crept in unaware. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I want you to get my point. I don't believe the devil is going to go, hey, I'm the booger man. I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to subtly creep in unaware. I went fishing one time, and most of the fishing I've done has been in little ponds on little boats. But the Barry back there has been to the bays and the oceans many times. And when you're in a large body of water on a small vessel, Brother Barry, you can drift and not know you're drifting. I mean, you'll look around and all of a sudden you don't recognize anything. That's why they have an anchor. You fishermen know the term. You find the honey hole. You find the sweet spot. You find that place where they're biting. And I've never understood this about fishing. You can put your line right there and catch a fish and put it right there and don't even get a bite. I don't understand that. But once you find the sweet spot, you drop the anchor so you don't drift away from it. Well, I'm glad. Praise the Lord. When the Holy Spirit regenerated me and the blood of Jesus redeemed me, I found a sweet spot. I found a joy and a peace and a song and a life that I didn't know anything about. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, people drift and don't know they're drifting. So I believe false religion, the apostasy, can be deceiving. And then I said he deals in the text with the dangers of false religion, the dangers of apostasy. It doesn't lead to blessing. It doesn't lead to hope. It doesn't lead to salvation. Several years ago, I was out of town, and Brother Tom and my wife and Miss Beth, several of you, went to a music seminar in a certain church. And the pastor of that church bore his heart to that great congregation. And he said, I know some men that have gone in a total different direction than we've always been in. And they have admitted to me, we did not get what we thought we were going to get. We did not get the prayer warriors. We did not get the tithers. We did not get the soul winners. We did not get the Sunday morning, Sunday night, the Wednesday night. He said it did not give us what we thought it was going to give. And that old man of God who is now in heaven, precious, precious man of God, raised a Bible and said, you get away from this, you'll get in dangerous territory. False religion, the apostasy, anything that's not the truth of the gospel, it does not lead to salvation. It does not lead to revival. It does not lead to a more wholesome society. I believe you can look around today at our government, the mess that it's in, the educational world, the sports world, the entertainment world. I mean, just look around. It seems like our world is decaying. But when you realize the spiritual atmosphere of the day, It's no wonder our nation has drifted in the wrong direction. I believe tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest enemy to apostasy, evilness, abomination, great sin, are churches where the Bible is preached and the truth is exalted and the fires of revival can burn in our heart. And I want to emphasize again, I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up and say, well, what's the use? You know, it ain't going to ever happen again. But you know what? Let's keep on preaching. Let's keep on believing the Scripture. Let's keep on propagating the truth of God. You say, well, Brother Joe, we may never win the masses back. If one more soul was to walk down the aisle, it'd be worth every trouble. It'd be worth every trial. And so he deals with the deception and the danger. But I want you to come tonight to this little epistle, and I want you to look in verse number 11. Verse number 11 of the book of Jude. I believe this one verse not only will give you the deception of apostasy, the danger of apostasy, but I believe you have a description of apostasy. I believe this one verse in the Bible will just tell you about the religious spiritual climate of the last day. A powerful verse of Scripture, I believe, that lays it all out for you and I. Notice in verse 11, it begins with a warning, woe unto them. Now, when he begins to give this warning, he's warning about a certain path that apostasy will take. He describes it by three Old Testament names and three Old Testament sins. Notice what he said in verse 11, woe unto them. Say this with me out loud. For they have gone in the way of Cain. Now there's a couple of words in that I want you to see. They have gone in the way of Cain. Come to the second part of the verse. And done what? Ran. How do they run? Greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now look at the last part. And have perished in the gainsayings of Korah. So they have gone, they have run, and they have perished. They went in the way of Cain, the era of Balaam, and they perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Now we don't have time tonight to go to the Old Testament and read all of those events. But sometimes, just on your own, study Cain, study Balaam, study the Korah and the rebellion. And when you put those three little lines together, it describes false religion. It describes apostasy that we're seeing in our day. Now, there are three words tonight that begin with the letter R that you can put right beside of these three descriptions. Number one, beside of this right here, gone in the way of Cain. Think about that now. Gone in the way of Cain. Beside of that, write down this word, the roots of false religion. What is the roots of false religion? What is it rooted in? I'll show you in just a moment. Secondly, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Beside of that, write down the word, the reason for false religion, or the reason for apostasy. Why would a nation go astray? Why would a church go astray? Why would an individual go away from the truth? There's a reason. Greed. The error of Balaam for reward. And then beside of this last phrase, perished, died, destroyed in the gainsayings of Korah. And beside of that, write down the word or the letter, are the results of false religion. Where does false religion lead? Well, it doesn't lead to salvation. It doesn't lead to revival, but it leads in the perishing of the gainsayings of Korah. So in that one verse, to me, you have a vivid, awesome description of false religion, apostasy. You find the roots of it, the reason of it, and the results of it. Let's look at them quickly. Number one, the roots of false religion. What is it rooted in? What would cause apostasy? Well, he describes it, verse 11, they have gone in the way of Cain. Say that with me tonight. The way of Cain. Now, what is the way of Cain? Don't do it now. When you get home tonight, turn back to Genesis 3 and Genesis 4. And you'll understand what the Bible talks about, the way of Cain. You remember when God and Adam and Eve had that first marriage? And children began to be born. There was Cain and there was Abel. I preached one night at the church, and going home, somebody asked a little boy, said, what did Brother Joe preach on tonight? He preached on Abel raised Cain or Cain raised Abel. But these two young men are the two first sons, and there is a difference between Cain and Abel. You remember when it came time to go to church, when it came time to sacrifice, when it came time to worship God, Abel goes and gets the first flock of a lamb, sheds its blood, puts the blood on the altar, and God said, that's it. Now, by the way, he just didn't do that by accident. I wonder where he got that idea from. Well, you remember in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve ate the fruit sinned against God? They hid themselves with fig leaves. And God said, that's not enough. And God clothed them in coats of skin. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but to get coats of skin, some lambs got to die. Some blood's got to be shed. And did you know, even though they were cast out of the garden, they still walked with God, they still had fellowship with God, because their failure, their sins, were not behind man-made fig leaf religion, but they were covered in the blood of the sacrifice. Well, glory. And when it comes Abel's time to go to church and worship God and get an offering, he said, it worked for my mama and it worked for my daddy. I'm going by the way of blood. The first little lamb of the flock, I'm going to give him up and shed his blood. And the Bible said God had respect to that offering. Ladies and gentlemen, God was laying it down the line. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Water baptism, church membership, the sacraments of the Lord's Supper. None of that has ever been a substitute for the shed blood of the sacrifice. Well, Cain got ready to go to church. Cain got ready to worship God. And he said, I'll do it my way. And the Bible said he brought the fruit of the ground. Now, I don't believe he brought rotten apples. I don't believe he brought corn stalks with no corn on it. I don't believe he brought rotten cantaloupe. Because if he brought God cantaloupe, no wonder he rejected it. Let me just say this tonight. You know you are redneck if you can eat cantaloupe with cottage cheese stuck in it. And the only thing more repulsive than that is finishing it off with a can of sardines. And there's people in this room tonight that eat them sardines. There's people in there from Alabama, ain't they, John? And I bet there's cantaloupe eaters. And you put cottage cheese in it. That's what happened to Dustin this morning. He turned orange. No, I don't believe he brought rotten fruit. I don't believe he brought rotten fruit. I don't believe he brought dried up fruit. I believe it looked beautiful. And to me, there's nothing more beautiful than apples and watermelons and pretty flowers and greenery. Let me ask you this. If you didn't know your Bible. Now, I said if you didn't know your Bible. And if you didn't know anything about God. And you walked into this place called a church or a worship house. And that was an altar. And you looked up there. And you saw some beautiful apples, bananas, pomegranates, roses, daffodils, carnations, magnolias, whatever, beautiful. And then right beside of it was a dead lamb with its throat cut and blood running down the table, dripping off onto the floor. Now, if you didn't know your Bible, if you didn't know anything about God, the natural mind, Brother Dom, the natural mind would say, why, them beautiful roses, them beautiful flowers, them beautiful pomegranates, them beautiful fruit. Man, that's beautiful. That's elegant. That's awesome. That must be what it takes. Oh, not that other, not that old bleeding lamb. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not the watermelon, it's not the bananas, it's not the pomegranates, it's not the apples, it's not the flowers, it's not the morning glories, it's not the rhododendrons, it's not the roses, except the rose of Sharon, that carries our sins away. It's the blood of the sacrifice. And the Bible said that day at church, God accepted Abel. And God rejected Cain. God's not against fruit. He give it to us. God's not against beautiful flowers. Give them to us. In fact, God loves them so much, He kisses them with dew every morning. But God is laying down the rule, the order. It's not what man can grow with the works of his hand out of a ground that's been cursed. It's the life and the power of the blood. Boy, I'm glad Hebrews lets us know exactly what he's talking about. Where it said that the blood of Christ speaketh greater things or better things than that of Abel. God accepted the blood. God recognized the blood. But God said to Cain, I reject your offering because it's the work of the flesh. It's come out of a cursed ground. Cain, I can't let you worship me. It's not by the way of blood. So what is the way of Cain? No blood. Every false religion that I know of, every apostate avenue I know of, the first thing they do, they attack or deny or lampoon the blood of Christ. There's a denomination in America tonight. I believe, Joe, you told me in the state of Georgia alone, how many of their churches pulled out? In the state of Georgia, was it over 400? Almost 300 of their churches pulled out of their umbrella, of their denomination, because of sin and because of a way they were going. And I agree with those who pulled out. But this drift began many, many years ago when they took every song about the blood out of their hymnals. And they rewrote their Bibles and took out the word blood because it was offensive to an educated society. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The blood of Christ is offensive not to an educated society, but to a lost society that's undone without God. But I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight. The blood of Jesus is not offensive to you. It is your hope. It is your joy. It is your anchor. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. For the blood of Christ. And the way of Cain is a way of no blood. It is a works salvation. Now watch this. Cain gets jealous. Isn't it amazing that jealousy is right in there with false religion? He's jealous. He's mad because God accepts Abel and rejects him. Can I use some real country vernacular? It ain't Abel's fault. He's just doing it right. And he's so mad at him that he murders him. He kills him. He takes his life. The firstborn son murders the secondborn son. And the first home in society has death, sin, heartache, and a murderer in it. Because there's no love. There's no love there. You don't murder somebody you love. So the way of Cain, no blood. The way of Cain, no love. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible in the New Testament explicitly says, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." In fact, it is so plain in the Bible that the scripture says you cannot love your heavenly Father who you have not seen and hate your brother that you have seen. Hatred, jealousy, it cannot live in a heart where the blood has been applied. You say, don't you ever get mad? Don't you ever get upset? People ever rub you wrong? Yes, but I'm telling you, you can't stew in that. You can't wallow in that. You got to shake that off and realize, ladies and gentlemen, we're not in the hating business. We're not in the getting even business. We're in the love business. Jesus said the world's going to know you belong to me because you love one another. We had a visitor not long ago say to one of our care team members, "Hey, somebody came up to me and spoke to me and shook my hand." Duh. He said, "When that person left, somebody else came by, and somebody else came by, and somebody else came by." And said, one person came by and said, "Love you." That blew their mind. And then they said this. He said, "I felt like I was at somebody's house." It was you, wasn't it? He said to Landon, "I felt like I was at somebody's house." And Landon, you done good this time. He said, "You were his." Man, this is the family of God. This ain't where we come and sharpen our swords of hatefulness and envy. Man, love, brother. Old time religion. I put love down in your heart. Man, Cain's got no blood. Cain's got no love. No wonder he's in a mess. Now here we go. I ain't even going to get to these others. But here we go. You ready now? I'm watching Cain's religion. I want to see what that way is, Gus, so I can stay away from that way. I don't like that way. And I don't see no blood. I don't see any love. Hold on to your hat now. This guy, a buddy of mine, kicked out of a Bible college not long ago. But hold on now. God said to Cain, "All right, sin lieth at the door. Cain, you can do something about this. You can change this if you want to. Cain, you can make a choice right here. You go back and do it right, it'll be well with thee." Cain ain't about to change his mind because he knows more than God. He ain't about to go God's way. It's Cain's way or the highway, brother. So God offers him, watch this now, a space of repentance. God's given him an opportunity to make things right. Lord have mercy. That's a Calvinist worst nightmare right there. Because the Calvinists would say it was foreordained before the foundation of the world that Cain go to hell. What are you going to do with the invitation where God said, son, you do well, it'll be all right. It lieth at the door. He gave him space to repent. He gave him an avenue. He gave him a chance to... I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight, you're glad that the sovereign God of heaven gave you a chance to get it right. And Cain wouldn't do it. He wouldn't admit he's wrong. Whoo, I felt good on that point. He would not admit he was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest evidences that you do not possess love and the Holy Spirit is when you refuse to admit you're wrong. Let me tell every man, boy, you women gonna love this. Let me tell every one of you men in this room tonight, if you're too macho to say I'm sorry when you're wronged your wife, you're in bad shape. I don't say it much, but you know. But Cain was not sorry. Cain was not sorry. He spurned his opportunity to make things right. Listen to the tragedy. Cain was willing. Whew. Boy, the fear of God just came on me. It's like cold water shot over my soul. Whew. Whew. Boy, I ain't felt nothing that strong in a long time. My God Almighty, help me, Jesus. Listen to this. Cain was willing to be marked. Cain was willing to be banished forever from the presence of God. Cain chose to go to hell. Instead of making it right. Can you imagine that worship service that day? There's old Abel standing there with that lamb and that blood. And God said, I like it, boy. That's good. And our sins came with all that stuff. God said, that ain't going to work. But if you'll go do that, we can make it right. But he has so much pride. He has so much ego. He is so stuck on himself and his way. Sound familiar? That he is willing to be marked, banished from the presence of God forever, and go to hell. I believe this, Brother Shane. I believe this to heaven and back. That if Cain would have went out and said, Abel, where do you keep them lambs? I believe Abel would have said, big brother, you can have any one I got. Where do you keep him lambs, son? And I believe if Cain would have walked in and that little altar area with that blood of that lamb, I'd have believed God said, hallelujah, I'll take that, I'll take that. And there would be no murder of Abel. You know why? Hey, God gave him a place and a chance to make it right, and he spurned it. And here's a line in Genesis 4. Man, it'll get a hold of you. And he went out from the presence of the Lord. Did you hear that? And he went out. He didn't say he got in, Richard. He got out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And by the way, it was so fatal, he never got back in. He's in hell tonight. Oh, that's because God didn't love him. Not according to Genesis 4. Because God didn't choose him. You need to get that out of your mind. God didn't make him bring the wrong offering. God didn't foreordain him to bring the fruit. He had a free will just like Abel had. But because there was no blood, because there was no love, and because there was no repentance, He missed it. And can I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the roots of all false doctrine, all apostasy, the roots of all false religion. No blood, no love, no repentance. The way of Cain. But in closing tonight, I just want to stop and say, I'm not going that way. I don't like the way that way goes. I don't like the final destination of that way. I don't like the finished product of that way. I'm really not impressed with that way. Well, it didn't do Abel no good. He died prematurely. Yep. But go to the book of Hebrews. Glory to God. Where Christ is better. And go to the... Them boys back there want to preach so bad they can't. I think even Jerry's want to preach a little bit on that one. But go to the 11th chapter, to the hall of fame of faith, where those who excel for God have their picture on the hall of fame of faith. And you walk in the hall of fame, those who excel for God because of their faith. You don't see Cain's picture hanging up in there. Oh, but if I remember just right. Praise the Lord. Shane, get a Bible and a microphone. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hey, man, then we're going to go to the house. I felt like preaching tonight. Lord of God. The way of Cain. That's a wrong way. That's a false way. That's a bad way. I don't like the final destination. I don't like the finished product. I don't like any kind of religion that produces hate, selfishness, pride. Ain't we having fun at the tabernacle tonight? I don't have any respect or love for anybody's religion that makes them think they're better than everybody else, or they condescend to everybody else, and they have an old lying tongue and a murdering heart. That ain't the way I want. I want the way of Abel. I want the smile of God for him to say, Hebrews 11, verse 4. Oh, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you, Brother Shane. That's all I needed. Because I wanted to double check my reference. All right, go ahead and read the whole.
And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained, wherein that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh.
I wanted to check my reference because I started to say this, but I wanted to make sure. He's not only in the Hall of Fame, he's the first one in there. I thought that, but I just want to make sure Dr. Shane backed me up on that. He's not only in the Hall of Fame, he's the first one in there. Well, I don't understand why he got there. I'm trying to tell you how he got there. He got there through the blood of Christ. By the way, I may not be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm going to be in the royal family because I got in the same way Abel got in, the blood of Christ. I believe you read a verse of Scripture in that fourth verse. It said, righteous. I've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe you read another phrase in that verse, though he's dead, yet he speaks. Oh, what is he speaking? The way of the cross leads home. There's power in the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in that way. The truth way, the blood way, the love way, the repentance way, the glory way. That's going to lead to the Hall of Fame of faith. I don't want to be banished from God's presence. I don't want to die with that God and go to hell. And guess what? I'm not. Because my hope's in the blood. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto me. And I have repented of my sins and turned to Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, what kind of assurance is that? Well, Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad there's a better way? God's way. The truth way. I'm staying with the blood. I'm staying with God's love. I'm staying with God's plan of salvation. Maybe one day we'll get into this era of Balaam for reward, but I can tell you that's the reason of false religion. You know what it's all about? Greed and money and fame. And every false religion I know, behind it is fame, greed, money. But ladies and gentlemen, there are some things money can't buy. And then perish from the gang sins of Korah, that's the results of it. When Korah led that rebellion against the man of God named Moses, the earth opened up and hell engulfed them, and they died under the judgment of God. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and the way of the cross leads home. Let's stand together tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the word of God.